Yes, yes, yes. Some days it's good, some days it's bad, some days it's Tuesday. I'm Tim Rocky, here with all the sports numbers, news, and nonsense you can handle. Sports news, jazz, blues, you come to the right place. It's the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene, and we'll be right back with National Championship, NFL, NBA, anything you want, right here. Keep tuned, 89.7 FM. So if you were hiding under a rock last night and you did not see the national championship for college football happen, and it was a doozy. So if you've also been hiding under a rock and not listening to your radio, I'm Tim Rocky. I'm here with the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene on the biggest of big cabs radio, 89.7 FM. And we're going to talk about today. I'm going to try not to let this whole national championship eat up the whole show, but it probably is going to talk about that, talk about a little bit of NFL, talk about a little bit of NBA, talk about the Alaska State Legislature that's about to get started here in a couple days. So it's going to be a great show. Going to have fun. Today has not been so great for me, but you know what? I am here on these radio waves with you, the listeners, and that makes me happy. So, last night, I get over to the place of watching for this national championship because it is my duty to you, the listeners, to watch this national championship. And being the, call it sports media savant that I am, I knew the headlines going in. You know, Alabama, 26 wins in a row. Nick Saban needed only one more national championship to tie Bear Bryant with six. Nick Saban has never lost while head coaching in a national championship. Alabama with the best defense ever, 15, we'll get back to that later, 15 non-offensive touchdowns throughout the season. Coming in just ridiculous. Who is going to beat Alabama? But last year, the Clemson Tigers did almost that, almost nipped at the end and lost, but they were back for a rematch last night. And the storylines following Clemson were not those Alabama storylines. Alabama was the Goliath to Clemson State. Clemson kind of limped through the season. They lost to Pitt. They had a loss to begin with. Alabama was undefeated. They won the ACC and then shut out Ohio State, but people were saying, oh, Ohio State's a down team. So both of these teams came in with amazing defenses, ridiculous front fours, defensive linemen that will just eat you for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and the offenses were what we're going to decide it. Now, Alabama's offense, we're still pregame here. Stay with me, folks. Lane Kiffin had left the Alabama team to go be the head coach at Florida Atlantic, and that was not his decision. He wanted to stay through the national championship, but Nick Saban getting the opportunity to fire Lane Kiffin took that opportunity. And he had Steve Sarkisian, who's another big-name head coach, being a coordinator for Nick Saban because they want a taste of those national championship games. Brought in Steve Sarkisian to be the offensive coordinator for the last game. It wasn't like he was new to it. He'd been there all season. But people wondered, will the offense still click? Is it going to be as good as it had been with a new coordinator? And granted, Alabama's offense had not been that great. It had been good, plenty good, but the defense is what you worry about with Alabama. So we get down to game time, and let's just go over how I watched the game. I've got Twitter open on my phone because, as a millennial, I'm guilty as charged. I must not only see what's happening, but I must see how other people are reacting to what's happening. So ESPN's got like four channels where they're broadcasting it. They've got one called the Megacast, where I think they have five or six different quote-unquote analysts just sitting there kind of shooting the breeze while they watch the game. One of them is Bill Walton in an Uncle Sam suit. Another is Marcellus Wiley in an Uncle Sam suit. Jay Billis looks like he's about 90 sitting there playing the role of what normally Bill Walton would be doing. And I love it. I just love it. I love how when the sports world is brought together by one unifying game, television event, evening, whatever, it brings out all of the little details that you might not get just watching your regular season SEC, ACC football game, what have you. It's blown up to a ridiculous proportion where you get to see and hear and know everything. And I like that. So we start the game, and Alabama does their Alabama thing. They hand the ball off. In only three plays, Bo Scarborough runs in from 25 yards away. He scores. He then scores again on a 37-yard run. So Clemson's down 14-0 before the half. They then counter with a seven-play, 87-yard drive of only a minute 33 that brought the score to only 7-14. I'm going to be honest. The game went exactly as it was supposed to for the first 24 minutes. I might have dozed off once or twice. Guilty? Guilty? I will not say that I was not guilty of dozing off because it was the game you would expect. The defenses were great. The quarterbacks had a hard time getting passes off. The defensive backs were outstanding. The receivers had a hard time finding any room to run, room to get open, room for their quarterbacks to find them. So, the second half. Oh, but the second half did deliver. Alabama comes out. They get stymied by the Clemson defense and have to settle for a field goal in the third, but that stretches their lead to 10. Hunter Renfrow, the 5'9", 180, maybe 200-pound, short, fast white kid who is somehow out there competing against all these behemoths, gets some help because the safety goes to another receiver. He's wide open over the middle. Deshaun Watson finds him. It's a 42-yard strike, and they're within three. Becomes more interesting. But Alabama, sensing that it may become time to get a little urgent with their play calling, goes to the old trickeration. So Jalen Hurts throws the ball back to a receiver who's behind the line of scrimmage, who then wings the ball 68 yards to O.J. Howard, an all-American, all-conference, all-everything, giant human who is a tight end and will do so professionally on Sundays for the rest of his career. O.J. Howard scores, and they're back up 10. Now, no team has ever beat Nick Saban when his team had a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter. We're going to go with a little bit of stats for you guys because I know how much you love the stats. Stats are what you live for. It was his first loss, Nick Saban, in the national championship, and Clemson had not beaten Alabama in 40,619 days since October 25th of 1905, what also came out in that year, yes, the theory of relativity. So, Alabama goes back up 10, and then we get to the fourth quarter. Deshaun Watson leads his team on just the slowest, most methodical, wonderful touchdown drive and caps it with a throw to Mike Williams for 4 yards. Now, Mike Williams made some redonkulous catches in this game. Jumping over people, jumping under people, using the gymnastics that he went through to get to the football were ridiculous. He just blew my mind every time he made a catch because he was not open. Deshaun Watson threw a ball that should have been picked off, you know, however many times Mike Williams caught it, but he got to the ball through the defender, the All-American cornerback for Alabama. So he catches a touchdown pass, and then Wayne Gallman caps an 88-yard six-play drive with a one-yard run. Now, Clemson is winning. That momentum has shifted. Let me tell you why this momentum had shifted. So the first two scores of the game were Bo Scarborough. Scarborough had been hurt throughout much of the season, but came back and was their rock throughout the latter part of the season. When you get down to the end of the game and you've got a lead, you don't want to be throwing quick bubble screens. You don't want to be throwing Hail Marys. You want to hand the ball off to a freak of a human who can punish some people while holding onto the ball, run out the clock, and continue to churn for first downs. Now, Bo Scarborough broke his leg last night in the third quarter, so that kind of changes things. Clemson can now key on making Jalen Hurts, the true freshman quarterback for Alabama, beat them with his arm. And Jalen Hurts said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and try to do that, but you know what's more fun? I'm going to take this ball and I'm going to run it for 30 yards up the middle, score with only 2 minutes and 7 seconds left, put us back up by three. That was a big boy move. That took some stones. Mr. Jalen Hurts is, I believe, 18 years old and a true freshman. For much of the season, his duty was just don't throw interceptions and don't fumble the ball. Make sure we score once or twice, but your defense will handle the work. Hurts becomes a legend with that one run. Kirk Herbstreit on the broadcast says at that time, a legend is born, a star is born, because he had just beaten Clemson right there. There's no way Clemson against the quote-unquote best defense ever, which is what they were being called. I believe 7 All-Americans on that defense, probably 10 or 15 NFL players going to come off that team. There's no way that Deshaun Watson can lead his team down the field against the Alabama defense and win the game. So, they make a couple plays on third and forever. They get a pass complete to Hunter Renfrow, and they get another first down. They then get up close to the goal line, and it is time. It is time to decide, do we kick the field goal? Do we go for a tie, or do we just go for it all? Do we go for glory right here? And Dabo Swinney, who we have to note, Dabo Swinney was a walk-on at Alabama in the 90s, was a small receiver, was a coach at Alabama until he was 31 years old, was angry that he could no longer coach in Alabama, grew up in Alabama, he loved everything about Alabama, but went to Clemson, took another coaching job, and he has built that program from the ground up. And he said, you know what? I am not going to lose to Alabama again. I'm going to take down Nick Saban and the mighty Crimson Tide. And so Deshaun Watson attempts a couple of passes, first to Jordan Leggett, then to Williams, which was a good idea, but there's a penalty for pass interference on Anthony Averett, the All-American cornerback. So with 1 second left, pardon me, with 6 seconds left, the last play of the game, presumably, Deshaun Watson gets the call from Dabo Swinney. It is a run-pass option. He rolls the pocket out to the right, finds Hunter Renfrow in the end zone. Goodness gracious, folks, go crazy. We're going to take one more break. Pardon me, we are going to play some audio from last night's game because it was just that good. Here's Ben Bollwear. That was Ben Bollwear. He's a linebacker and now national champion. Here is Bright Whites by Keisha Basha. Yeah. Okay, as always, too much sports, too much love, not enough time. So we're going to run through the NFL's wild card round. We had a couple of record-breaking rushing performances, a record-breaking receiving performance, and Derek Carr was broken. So in the first game, the Texans in the lackluster first game, the Texans beat the Raiders 27-14. Brock Osweiler finally looked like the quarterback that Houston spent $72 million on. DeAndre Hopkins looked like almost his old self with 67 receiving yards on 5 catches and a touchdown. Osweiler did not throw a pick. In the Detroit-Seattle game, it was all Seahawks, 26-6 in Seattle. Thomas Rawls broke the Seattle playoff rushing record with 161 yards and 1 touchdown on 27 carries. Where was that this regular season? Thomas Rawls, my fantasy team needed you. In the Dolphins-Steelers game, Le'Veon Bell had 167 yards in his first playoff game as a Steeler, 2 touchdowns for him. The record of Franco Harris was broken by Mr. Bell. Antonio Brown had 5 catches for 124 yards and 2 touchdowns, just another day at the office. Matt Moore had a good game as a backup, 289 yards and a touchdown. Completing 29 of his 36 passes, but Mr. Ben Roethlisberger was hurt during the game, and people don't know why he was still in the game if he was hurt. You wonder, you know, NBA players take days off, NFL players sometimes take whole weeks off when they've already got the game, season decided, but Ben Roethlisberger was still in, left in a walking boot, twisted his ankle. 30-12, the Steelers are winners over the Dolphins. And the Packers beat the Giants 38-13. Aaron Rodgers did his best Aaron Rodgers impression. 362 yards and 4 touchdowns. Christian Michael had 47 yards. The running attack is not what the Packers are known for. Devontae Adams had 125 yards and 1 touchdown receiving. But Mr. Randall Cobb, on 5 catches, had 116 yards and 3 touchdowns. First receiver type to do that since Rob Gronkowski in 2011, I believe it was. So, the matchups are set for next week. We've got a great weekend of football ahead of us. Seahawks and Falcons in Atlanta. Matt Ryan, the MVP candidate, leads the Falcons against that tough Seahawks defense. Texans and Patriots. Patriots are the biggest playoff favorite in a long time. 14-2 are the Patriots, 9-7 are the Texans. I don't see any reason why the Texans win this game. Steelers and Chiefs at Arrowhead will be a great game between two potent offenses that also feature stifling defenses on the other side. And Packers-Cowboys, a matchup of old. We'll get to see Aaron Rodgers against Dak Prescott and see what those young Cowboys can finally do in the playoffs. All right, we are going to kick it to some music because that's what we're good at. We're going to boogie with some blues. We've actually got the Shaky Graves coming up right now. Another suggestion. Thank you, listeners, for your suggestions. There's 89.7 FM. I'm Tim Rocky. This is the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene. Keep it tuned right here.
Try to fall.
That was Bones by the Shaky Grays. I have had a wonderful time with you on air. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Radio Free Palmer sports scene as well. I have to shout out to last week's show. Thank you so much to Sean, Cassera, and Colin. After the show, I actually had the pleasure of going over to St. John Lutheran Church to witness one of my, call him a brother, younger brothers, Aaron Christensen, receive his Eagle Scout. So congratulations to Aaron. Thank you guys for showing up and having a great show with me. I really enjoyed it. Want to do more interviews in the coming year of 2017. And you know what? Go out and watch some sports. Have yourself a good evening. I have a couple more things before I go. Jonathan Christ Tompkins, a representative from Sitka, has introduced a bill that would no longer ban the ballot selfie. Very, very important. And all of those of you who like to stand on planks on snow, whether they be two or one, make sure you stay safe out there. If you are so inclined to make sure you are extra safe, Teton Gravity Research is dedicating the entire month of content to make sure that those who are out there in harm's way having fun are safe. So if you want to be extra safe, you may be able to go and find some good tips there. I'm Tim Rocky with Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene. This has been wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm out. My yellow in this case is not so mellow. In fact, I'm trying to say it's frightened like me. And all these emotions of mine keep holding me from giving my life.
He had it. Oh my God! Oh! Shut it down! Let's go home!
It's a wrap, dude.